Let Go My Hand by Edward Docks, read by Daniel Wayman. Act 4, Scene 6, On the Dover Cliffs. Gloucester. Let go my hand. Here, friend, s'another purse, in it a jewel, well worth a poor man's taking. Fairies and gods prosper it with thee. Go thou farther off. Bid me farewell, and let me hear thee going. Edgar. Now fare you well, good sir. Shakespeare. From King Lear. First we've got to clear the ground. Ivan Turgenev. From Fathers and Sons. O God said to Abraham, kill me a son. Abe says, man, you must be putting me on. God say, no. Abe say, what? God say, you can do what you want, Abe, but the next time you see me coming, you better run. Well, Abe says, where do you want this killing done? God says, out on Highway 61. Bob Dylan, from Highway 61 Revisited. Part 1. Portrait of a Father. Dover. I should never have agreed to any of this, but I only start to feel the reality when we arrive in Dover and pull into the ferry terminal. I wind down the window for border control, and the cold air blusters in, all sea salt, diesel and ship rust, and I can hear gulls screaming like there's been a murder. I hand over the passports. Holiday? The border guard asks, and I hoist myself a grin. Yes. She glances over at Dad, and I lean back so that she can see past me and decide if we're the kind of people who might want to blow up the ferry for some insane reason not to do with anything that matters. We're in the ragged old camper van because we don't have a car. Dad has fallen asleep in the passenger seat, which is all wrong, given that we used to do this every summer with him at the wheel, long after my older brothers didn't want to come with us, and it was only me and Mum and Dad. Back come the passports. I stow Dad's with mine in the little compartment under the wheel, as if I'm the one who's in charge. Then I take a self-conscious breath of that sea air again, making out to myself that it's a big surprise, which it always is. And I roll us gently into the next booth, where a guy from the ferry company hands me one of those oblong pieces of paper with the number of the lane in which you're meant to queue for the boat. Ours says 76, which is 5 years older than Dad. I hang it from the rearview mirror and head towards the lanes of eager cars waiting to board. And all of a sudden, my emotions rise, and I don't know where to look or how to be. The thing is that right about now, when I was a little boy, Dad would pull up and jump out of the driver's seat to make the tea, racing with himself, like he was one of those Grand Prix mechanics. And because in those days the van was packed too full to get to the hob when we were travelling, and probably because he didn't want to disturb Ralph and Jack because they could be such difficult bastards, he'd hunker on the tarmac and light the little camping stove. And I'd be right there, crouching down beside him, watching the tiny blue flame roar and stretch in the blustery wind, hands on the knees of my best summer holiday jeans, 5 years old, but acting as if I was working for Ferrari too. And all the while in the van, my brothers would be reading, and Mum would have her window down, and she'd be hanging her arm out and craftily smoking her luckies and hoping that the line didn't get called before the water was boiled, because she knew that once he had started, Dad wouldn't give it up until he'd had his cuppa, as she liked to say, in her best British accent. So next, I need to work out whether Dad and I are going to have some tea while we wait, which I will have to make, since his capacity for fine movement will continually diminish, as they say in one of the 800 PDFs I've read about what to expect and how to prepare. And this seems like another impossible thing that we have to decide. A man in a high-visibility jacket waves us into lane 76 with the other vans and 4x4s. I pull up and the handbrake clicks like some old watch wound to the end of its spring. And because I don't want to speak to Dad with this emotional surge going on, I open my door and climb out all in one movement, as if I'm the one who gets cramps in his legs. But straight away I wish I'd stayed in the damn van, because now I'm standing in the car park looking at the darkened windows of this off-road